Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, I want to take the time to welcome our guests because I know they're coming with a couple of things very expensive in my mind. I've learned the value of them both, and so I understand the value of them and how expensive of a commodity there is. Time. Time is one of the most precious gifts given to mankind. Every single one of us have 24 hours. What we do with that time, how one loves job time, how one honors time, how one respects time will speak volumes of who you are. The other is the journey has how it made the individual that is before us, it exposed them and made them power, made them lovers of self. Give them wisdom, insight, all of these things. And so we are honored to have Evangeline come here and share this with us, these precious commodities. And we want to welcome her to Threads of Enlightenment, into our family. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much, Ken. I feel very welcome. It's lovely to be here with you.
Thank you so much. Introduce the folks to yourself and tell them, how do you serve mankind? Because I keep telling them it is the prize, and I invite everyone to hurry up and get there because there's nothing like it once you have arrived. So how do you serve mankind?
I serve mankind by coaching people, entrepreneurs, people who are wanting to grow, to get to that next phase of their life, to either create or move toward what their vision is for their lives. And I help them by doing mindset coaching, which includes business and everything life. Yeah. And yeah, so I like to do, as I call it, surgery on people's minds and help them to see what mindset are they approaching life from with right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a diagnosis period. Then yeah. We look at, well, where do you want to be? What's that thing that you're trying to move toward? Then we look at that sometimes scary gap between those two phases. And then we look at how to get there. So it's action-based. Awesome. It's action-based and it's mindset work-based because you can't just take actions without doing the mindset work. You'll generally sabotage yourself into not taking the action or doing it in a way that doesn't feel good. So I help people to feel and be successful, whatever that means for them.
Yeah, you have to locate that thing, whatever that thing is. You have to locate it and then you learn how to address that situation that has created that mindset that you have been living with and living from for many years, and until you find and locate it, you can't honestly address it. So one of the customs that we have here is going back into one's family because we reside there and we are there until our 18. Sometimes most of us said, I want out by that time, or you know, we get out and find a way. So how is your family? It is the space by which we are first receiving programming. And that programming comes from mom and dad, family, church, all of these entities that are there within that household. What is and what was your family like?
My family was wonderful in so many ways and still is. I had two parents growing up, three girls, three daughters. And my mom, she's not with us anymore. She passed away about, I can't keep track of the years, 13 years ago maybe. But my parents were together for over 40 years, which is pretty remarkable. Sometimes I wonder if they should have been in some ways. Sometimes I wondered that, but now that I look back on it, it's this really beautiful thing that they stayed together through thick and thin. And so that was a really good model for me in terms mm-hmm. of loyalty.
Yeah.
And my mom was, I actually sometimes would call her an emotional alcoholic. So she didn't drink. She was kind of a prude, actually. But she would have emotional outbursts. And I, as a child, was very, very sensitive. And so I would take those in. And that's where I first developed shame.
Yeah.
And fear and shame of not being able to speak my mind, of not being able to, I tried to talk back a lot, but I would get yelled at a lot for that. So, you know, my mom and I butted heads a lot in our life. Now that she's passed away, she's one of my best friends. Of course, I can have this amazing relationship with her. And I still talk to her to this day. Yeah. And my dad, very wonderful, loving, also a little bit like he let my mom push him around. And that was really interesting to watch. She was a little bossy.
I think moms are like that. My mother was, I think she was probably about 5 feet. My dad was 6'3", 6'4".
Wow.
And she was his boss. Mm-hmm. She was the boss of all of us. So when she spoke, everyone was in line. And she was... Everyone in our family was taller than she was, but it was just this woman commanded attention when she was there. So yeah, I'm familiar with that energy, if you know what I'm talking about. So here you are, you got a chance to experience that wonderful dichotomy, I guess, within the family, the mom who's in control and dad allow moms to be there, and because of your mom's alcoholism, emotional alcoholism, it affected you through, and you internalize fearfulness. You mentioned shame also, that your voice was not given the opportunity to be heard because it was shut down. Mm-hmm. As you're moving through your life with those programming already in this young girl, how did she relate to others outside of mom and dad, with, you know, your siblings and those that are in school, with that type of skewed way of looking at yourself?
That's a great question. I was painfully shy, and I now have the language to describe what I felt physically and mentally a lot of the time, and that was anxiety.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep very well as a kid. I was, like I said, painfully shy. It was really hard for me to be myself and talk to people and make friends. I didn't have very many friends as a child. I had a few. But yeah, that's how it manifested.
Wow. How did your sisters manifest it in that? How did they relate to you? Not so others, because you don't know where they're at, but how did they relate to you? And how did you relate to them?
Well, I am the middle child, and it's commonly thought of as the middle child as the weird one. And so that was definitely true. And it was a bit of a joke in our family that I was the strange one, the black sheep, as they call it. I went on to do different things, and
So here you are, you're moving through life and your first stage, if you will. And you had picked up a couple of powerful negative energies and belief system. And I'm sure that was traumatic as well for a young being to be walking with that stored inside them. As you're moving through your life and you're looking at college or wherever you're looking at this, what did you see when you were looking in that direction? What was the conversation that you were having with mom and dad, since you are the little weird one, and your siblings and stuff like that? What was that conversation like when you were, you guys were talking about it, if you will, as you're coming to age?
Mm-hmm. There really wasn't much of one.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much of any talking about it, which is interesting to look back on. I think my mom tried to instill certain beliefs and values and life practices in me. And I was also very, very resistant to that. I've always been one of those people who wants to learn it. I want to do it myself. You know, I want to learn the hard way. No, that has not been easy. But I was always very resistant to her giving me any type of advice.
Yeah. Those are the weird ones. Mm-hmm. I was the black sheep too.
You get me.
Just a bundle of problems to those folks. So I get it. So yeah. So here you are. You're heading towards school and you're professional. And again, the reason why I have this conversation and I visit these spaces, I try to make the people aware that in each space that we reside for a little while, for several years or whatever it is, they're programming within those spaces that we have to deal with. And when we get into the professional realm, there's programming there as well. When you're in the family and the church, as I mentioned to you on the onset, there's programming everywhere. Programming on TV, telling you what to eat, drink, wear, how you ought to dress, walk, talk, and all that stuff. And the fence by which they control all of us is tell us that we have to be normal. So you're in the middle child, and you're obviously not normal. And you are now bucking the system, and you're bucking the programming. They're going to call you some stuff. They're going to say some names to you. Whatever those names are, and those names will again imprint into you and cause belief system from the program. You're looking at college. What profession did you pick and why?
Well, this is an interesting one. I actually went into college intending to do pre-med. And I left college having been a dance major, which is much academically speaking, it's much easier, right?
Yeah.
I chose.
Why did you pick the medical field? What was it that caused you to zero in on that versus anything else?
I knew from a very young age that I wanted to help people I would call it cure disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I went forward with. And later it became more clear that it was just that I wanted to help people. And there are lots of dimensions that disease can exist on.
Yeah. The mind is a place that trauma is a disease.
Exactly.
We call it disease, but it's dis-ease.
Dis-ease.
And that dis-ease is caused by trauma. Mm-hmm. And a mindset that is not healthy is also a disease, or disease can manifest in one's life. So I think it is probably one of the most important healing aspect that one would be able to embark on and in as an individual, alongside the medical aspect as well. So you're in good company, girl. Don't worry about it. So here you are. You got into school and you signed up for your medical classes. And then next thing you know, you're doing something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
How did the fam take it? And how did you manage that that switch? Because in reality, when you look at those that are telling us we ought to be normal, that's a drastic switch when the outsiders are looking in to your situation going, she must be a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So talk to us. What was that like?
I remember going to switch my major out of a sense of defeat. The school that I attended, I think it was maybe my sophomore year, it was ranked the second highest workload in the whole country next to Yale. Mm-hmm. And I was overburdened with homework. Wow. And I realized very quickly that, I thought I realized that I wasn't smart enough.
Yeah,
I know that I'm smart enough now, but yeah. Back then I was like, whoa, this is way too much. At the time, I didn't know how to ask for help. I was too ashamed that I couldn't do it, that I couldn't keep up, that I didn't understand. Organic chemistry kicked my butt, as it does many people's. And I just gave up that dream.
Yeah.
And I switched to dance because that was something I could do. That was something I could feel successful at.
Yeah. Here you go. And that's why I call this thing Threads of Enlightenment. There's a couple of reasons why. And as we go through, I'll let you know. The first one is that thread that we, from the conversation, one can pick up and see it. It's bonded with us, if you will. And it's walking with us through our life. And how it affects us as adults, as people when we get into college and all that stuff. And there is that shame that you talked about in the onset as a young girl walking with you hand in hand as a good friend. And then you have to learn how to break up that relationship as we all get there, as we begin our journey. So here you are in college. You made that switch. Everyone looks at you and go, okay, she's a little touched. But you are still there. You started believing the less than conversation. You're not smart enough. And it caused you to make a decision that is everyone else is looking at. How did you, when you got into class and you made that decision, what was your mind like your mindset at that time?
It was one of, so if mindset is a set of beliefs, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. It was, I'm not smart enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm not cut out for this. I don't have the physical energy. I'm weak. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be good at this. I'm not good at this.
Wow. Yeah. Where did you pick all of that? That's wonderful stuff. Where did you pick it up from? I mean, I know some of it was the shame. And these are branches that are part of shame, as all of those wonderful descriptions that she had mentioned, those are branches that manifest. So I know personally where it is, but I want my audience to get a chance to dig into you a little, to get to know, to excavate that. How did you feel? I mean, when you were sitting there looking at yourself like that and you're about to start dancing, How did you manage?
I mean, I managed okay, but I also say I managed poorly.
Yeah.
I felt ashamed. I felt weak and defeated.
Did dancing help encourage you or lift you up in any way where you began to? Because I know dancing, I'm not going to tell anyone that I used to do that stuff in high school, modern dancing. I'm not going to say that.
Modern dancing. Yeah, that's what
we it builds you up. It gives you this confidence. You begin to get in touch with your body. How did you respond when you got there on the floor, if you will, engaging with all the others, performers and dancers? What did it do to you, to your personality, to you? As an individual.
Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it. I would say that having studied modern dance, and I did ballet when I was much younger, but I sort of quit ballet and move on to modern when I was a freshman in high school, I think. And so modern dance is what I studied among some, you know, various other electives like African drumming and this Balinese dancing, just different things like that. But I enjoyed moving my body. I always, I had back pain from the time I was a teenager as well. So I wanted it to heal me on a few different levels. I always had a really tight back, really tight hamstrings. My body was kind of crumbling down a few times a year, and I'd be, you know, flat on my back with pain and things like that. So I wanted it to heal me. So I used it as a healing tool. I tried to anyway. Mm-hmm. And
did it work? Because it's really interesting, because when someone sets out purposely to utilize and use their body to achieve anything, again, that's a mindset you say within yourself. Usually one will have a conversation within yourself. And based on that conversation, you will then begin to make your decisions. And did it assist your body to gain some of its strength and healing as you went through, or did it continue to break down, as you said?
More the latter.
Yeah. Well, dances, that's what it does, at least. You know, we get damage and hurt and all the different mm-hmm. things that happens, the knees, and yeah. you come down wrong and your ankle is shot for 4 months. And I know some of those things.
Yep.
So in your case, how did it manifest? What parts of you started to fall apart, as they say?
Yeah, it's my hamstrings were tight, my neck was tight, my left shoulder, I had grown up playing the cello. And so it's this posture where your left shoulder is always higher yeah. than your right one. And I just was stuck in these patterns, and it wasn't quite unwinding me in the way that I wish that it would. That's when I discovered Pilates, and that's the thing that really helped me.
Yeah. So when you discovered Pilates, because Pilates has the mental aspect to it as well as the physical aspects mm-hmm. of it. So I assume then that it's about this time did you start looking into the mind and mindset, or did you start before that?
That's a great question. I was always interested in mindset. We didn't even use that type of language back then.
Yeah.
I think that the concept was only, I remember it being introduced, I think, by Carol Dweck, the psychologist, mm-hmm. PhD, yeah. and she was doing that work only in the 70s. And so it wasn't even that prevalent of a terminology until, you know, the 2000s, I think, is when I heard people start to really use that language more. I'm going off track a little bit, but
no, that's okay.
So I didn't have that language for it at the time, but I was always very interested in looking at myself. I think my dad taught me that. I knew about meditation, I knew about mm-hmm. yoga, I knew about shiatsu, massage, things like that from a young age. And so I was always very interested in that realm. But I did have a, what was the phrase that you used? You told me before we started recording, it was it's something with enlightenment, a day of,
it's no, like I call it the day of visitation.
Visitation. Yes. I love that term. So I had a day of visitation. I've called it a formative experience where I was in college, a junior, I believe, and it was the year 2000. So it was Y2K.
Yeah, I remember and that.
I was with some friends, just a small group of friends in a house, and I was pressured into taking some ecstasy at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience. I found myself just in a room by myself after, you know, the partying and dancing and everything was done. And I had that was my first experience of seeing that I had an inner self.
Yeah.
And being able to observe that, as it was a moment where I didn't completely fully identify. I was able to take that observer's perspective and see that, I guess some people call it your inner child. I could mm-hmm. see that I had a self, and I could see how I was relating to myself.
I think you were seeing you. The body is just the house. Mm-hmm. It was the first time probably that you were aware of you. And most of us think that this body is not anything at all. simply a house that keeps us legal here on this planet. When we shed the body, we move on to different dimensions, if you will, because we have documentations of people doing that all the time. So in meditation, I've done it in meditation where I've traveled to different areas of history and stuff like that. So meditation is one way by which one could travel and leave the body and so forth. So here you are, you had ecstasy, one of my favorite stuff, but I'm over with that now. It's not back
yeah,
in the
me
day.
Too. Okay. Exactly.
It was back useful, in the day, girl.
Useful yeah. tool at the time.
Useful tool. And I came out of divorce and I used, I have a friend of mine actually visiting from when back in the day when we were partying, and I was talking to her. She left to embark on her journey. And I was having a conversation with her, telling us back in the day, I would use drugs to help me walk through my journey because I knew it would shut off all of the negative thoughts. And I call it the elevator. It would take the elevator express to that other realm whereby I can get a chance to not worry about all the negative connotation to what was happening. But yeah. It was a purposeful reason to what I was doing. And I got answers every single time. And I came out victorious every single time. So here you are, you had that experience. What change took place after you had that experience?
I started to be able to observe myself. I started to be able to become aware of my own thinking. Mm-hmm. I think it actually took me about 15 years to begin to even fully digest what had happened. So I kind of put it away. I put that experience away. It's almost like I wasn't ready for it, but it was there as a seed. Yeah. So it took what felt like a very long time. But looking back at it now, I can see how that formed me.
Yeah. That's why I love, I told you, I said, we don't deal with feel good self-development. I love that phrase that you have in your writing.
Yeah.
And when situations happen like that, it's very rare that individual will take that and then become enlightened, sitting on a tree, open on him for hours. It never works that way. Yep. It is an introduction and bringing the awareness that you are more than. And it takes several years to manifest and bring you to the place where you are now going to surrender and become. So here you are, you had that experience, you entered into Pilates, and I know that Pilates, you're aware of meditation. How did during that class and you interacted with each other as you began and embark on that aspect of your life, bringing this other tool into your being as well?
That was my first career. I taught Pilates and yoga and meditation and breathing for 17, 18 years, actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got exposed to the power of all of those, because all of those are tools. Mm-hmm. Meditation, yoga, all of those things are tools to ignite the mind, to cause the mind and the thought, especially the thought, to slow down. And one now begins to disconnect from the default programming. And meditation and yoga, when used, and all these different tools used in the right space, it allows one to now begin to choose the thoughts that they want to manifest, even when it comes to the physical movement of the body. Mm-hmm. You have to see yourself doing this, and then you're able to carry out that stuff, especially when you're doing all of the different meditations and so forth. So you're dancing within the dabbling, if you will,
yes.
with the tools of spirituality, but not fully immersed yet. What was happening in your life?
I was searching.
Yeah.
I was constantly wanting to learn with the energy behind that learning of, I need answers because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Sorry?
Yeah. I said that's beautiful when that.
Thank you.
That uncomfortableness is there because it tells us to keep moving. We haven't arrived yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call myself a lifelong learner. And that's my greatest strength and also a weakness because I can get a little addicted at times to the learning and the shiny object syndrome and to trying the next new thing in this search for inner peace, really.
Yeah. So as you began to, that restlessness is there. Where did it lead you to?
Mm-hmm. It led me through a few relationships that were pretty unhealthy.
Yeah.
It led me through, this is a 10-year period, I'd say, a decade of a few really tumultuous times. I lost my mother, went through a couple of really huge losses relationship-wise. I moved a lot. I would move. Mm-hmm. I think I've moved 18 or 19 times in my life. I was always, I became trying to fix something by changing my environment, right? And I'd say that the culmination of it was a really bad breakup where it destroyed me. And that's when I really hit an existential crisis. I really questioned, what am I doing here? What's the point? What am I doing? Yeah. How did this happen? Why am I this way? What's wrong with me?
Yeah, the truth, as we say, will set us free.
Mm-hmm.
And that space is one of the most powerful place that a creator can be. It is the perfect start. And I mentioned to you on the onset that I grew up in a church, and I remember opening up that black book that says Holy Bible. And the first set of stuff talks about this place being darkness. I'm like, that's beautiful. So creation to me is darkness first. It's not light. Each time he came and looked at that, he's like, oh, there's a mess over there. I need to fix that up. And he said, he wanted light. He came in and began to purposely design that whole thing. And that's where the creator is born in you and I. It is sitting inside of us. You actually had a chance to be introduced to him many years ago when you had that experience. But you weren't ready to allow him to take control and begin to move through your life. You're still doing your thing, girl, as they say. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there, you realize that you've been stripped bare, your emotions are gone, life has no flavor, and you're honest with yourself. Why am I here? Those are the most important questions. And as we begin to excavate ourselves, as you begin to excavate, and ask those questions. What did you hear?
You're here to do what you want to do. You're here to experience and to explore and to grow and to create something really cool.
Yeah.
You're here to enjoy.
When you heard it, what did it do to you? What steps did you take to now begin to make that a reality?
I had, because of the breakup, I had to start my life all over again, mm-hmm. location-wise, career-wise, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the practical steps I had to take. I had to start from complete scratch in a different area of the country and a different. So I went on sabbatical, essentially.
Yeah.
And I went to nutrition school. I started doing different apprenticeships with coaching and education and all that. I realized I had been a coach already for 20 years because I worked one-on-one with people for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I delved in, I found myself a mindset coach.
Yeah.
A few different, actually. I dove into the world of dating. I went through a dating coaching program as well, dating and relationships. Mm-hmm. And I started to build this idea. And, you know, the language I use is I was finally able to admit to myself what I really wanted in my life.
Yeah.
And then I went out and got it. It wasn't that easy. This was like a period, but I did. I found myself, I'm married to my dream man. We have an amazing life now in Virginia. We bought a farm last year and we're building here. And I took on the newest iteration of my career of mindset coaching.
Yeah. I hope you guys heard what she had said, because it's really important. The process by which we begin our journey, that day of visitation, is necessary. The shaking of our belief, the shaking of us looking at ourselves going, what happened? And as we begin to look at it honestly, we then start to discover certain things about ourselves. And we have to learn how to love this person all over again, because this person went through some hardship and you have some doubts about yourself. And the journey is never a linear thing. Whoever will tell you that is a liar. The journey is not a linear thing. If you step into a plane to go from New York to your vacation in Hawaii, it is not a straight flight. They take off. There's a couple of laws needed to be broken. The law of gravity is holding you down. You got to, you have to get into a law of momentum, the law. All of these things is what happens in our life. Then you have this law of flight when the plane takes off. When the plane is up there, it just broke another law. The law of gravity is up there. It's moving. And then there's these wonderful things that are called turbulence. And that's turbulence that come into your life, my life. And so it begins to hit us off course. But you have to have your compass. Who are you? What are you about? Where are you going? These are your compass that will bring you back when you get tired and you're broken and you're not sure, but you're just holding on to that compass. And a plane does the same thing. And she had mentioned her compass. She got in touch with herself. Ain't nothing like it. You got to find out what you want. What is it do I want from this place that is called the earth and this life? And then you bring data. You go out and you get the data, the information to bring it into your space, studying, bringing in coaches, bringing in, you get the data, begin to digest the data. And once you begin to understand the data, because you are now purposefully designing your life. That, guys, is personal development. Messy as it comes, as beautiful as it is. That's it right there. And if you're listening, I tell my listeners, the ones that are listening, learn to transition to become a hearer. A listener will find another podcast and continue listening, and their life will still be the same. But a hearer, that person heard something on the inside. The natural ear is designed to listen. The spirit, the soul of the man is designed to hear. And when he hears, he will make whatever you desire come to pass. Learn the difference and your life will change. So here you are, you got into school, you bring in the data, you started hunting that man. No, you begin to change you. You got into the arena as far as dating that you got crushed and hurt. You went in there to find out knowledge, understanding, what, things like that. When you begin to bring in the data, what began to happen to you in your life now? When you started getting, you got real with yourself, you find out what you want, you brought in the coaches, you did all the other things, and now you are designing your life to a different degree as far as what you want. When you brought that in, what did it begin to do to you? And what did you begin to see as a result of it coming and changing?
It grounded me into this life. So I think I used to approach spirituality from this place of there's somewhere better to be. Yeah. And I need to find that. But at this point, I became more grounded in my life. I started to desire being in life, mm-hmm. not trying to escape it to feel better.
Yeah.
And so I got more in touch with nature. I fell in love with plants. And yeah. as you can see in my background, I love yeah. plants. I wanted to be a homeowner and start to tend to the land and have animals around me. I think what I really learned is that, so this word manifestation, right? I mm-hmm. always thought of it as, well, and I learned about it as this kind of woo-woo concept of you yeah. just think of something enough and whoop, it's going to just appear in your life. I learned that it's actually the more grounded approach, and that if you want the things that you want, you have to do the work yeah. to get them. And so I did the work to heal myself, and I put it out there into the universe. I wrote it in a note on my phone, actually, the kind of man that I wanted. I did that one day, and 2 weeks later he appeared, and it was all,
maybe my list is too long. You know, I have that list, and I think I'm about 50 or 60. I think maybe my list might be too long. I mean, I think God is building her. He's like, oh my God, he keeps growing this list, you know. But I agree with you. I think manifestation people, I use my background from reading this book that I turned. Manifestation is something he saw, and he began to release words, and the words were filled with his belief. He believed that whatever he said was going to come to pass, and so he spoke it, and it was. That means that you and I have to do the very same thing. I have to believe what I say. It's going to take me some time to believe it. I used to look at the mirror and go, wow, you're pretty, you're handsome, whatever, whatever. And then one day I stopped and I'm like, damn, you're handsome. I started kissing myself and stuff like that. But you're not going to believe it the first time. It's okay. Keep at it. Be consistent. And slow down next time when you say it, when you're running by. Slow down and begin to whisper the words of power, because when you believe it, it ignites something in you, your imagination. When that thing ignites your imagination, you will begin to see it in your imagination, and you are going to be speaking it under your tongue, as they say, yeah, I want that. And what you're doing is speaking energy and faith, and you're pulling it closer and closer and closer. And sometimes they show up in 2 weeks. Sometimes they take a little longer because God is still building this woman, because the list is longer being built. But that's how you manifest it. You have to be consistent and be clear. He said, I want light. You must be clear, just like you were. You have to be very crystal clear. And once you are, it means that there is no distraction outside of what you just spoke. And when you speak that, your imagination becomes a part of it. Your all of it, your meditation, you're meditating on it all day, you don't know. Because the human being is he's a meditative being, period. You're meditating on something during your day. And so you just have to pick which one you want, so it'll manifest. So here you are, you got your man after a couple of weeks, and now you're beginning to move through your life. having experiencing heaven on earth, as they say, how did you begin to move from that into the mindset coach and wanting to be in that part and wanting to be a servant of that magnitude from where you came from?
I think I realized I was already doing that, and I took that on as this really cool identity of, hey, I have a talent that people are telling me left and right that I've helped them. I'm good at this thing. And so I started to own that more.
And I
had already had a practice going for a while, and I decided to sink into it and build it even more and make it into a thing.
Yeah.
And now
make it into a servanthood.
Yeah. And so I have a one-on-one practice, and I also have a business partner where we've developed a program. We coach in tandem. She handles a little bit more of the business side. Her name's Phoebe Pierpoint. She's basically my best friend. And she handles a little bit more of the business coaching side of things. That's her more of her area of expertise. And I help to supplement with all the lifestyle and to help the mindset coaching behind taking those actions.
That's awesome. So here I am. And I always like to end this this way. Here I am. I listen to this podcast with Ken and you, and I'm gonna call you now. And look, I'm screwed up, girl. I just really got on the phone. I'm a mess, and I need your help. And I heard that you got yours. I want to get mine. I need some help now. What are the stages? Because you mentioned it on the onset, but I want you to go back and revisit it and elaborate a little. The stages that now you're going to take this caller that has been telling you that I got this list, but it's a long one. And now you're going to walk me through, if you will. I'm at the bottom of my of the barrel, and I said the reason why you went through is because there was a need on the other side. You were picked because you were different, and because you're different, I believe that's why we are picked, because we're not programmed, and meaning that we are those that are thinking outside of the normal, the neos, as they say. Where we saw that move,
The Matrix.
And so here you are. You have this guy, and now you're going to pull me out of the Matrix. Give me the four. I know you guys have your stages. Walk me through them, and the list, and the listeners that they are having, listening to us make this conversation. What were those that you take? You would walk me through.
First, we look at where you are and what that current mindset that you have is, practically where you are in life, what you have, what you're doing. Then we look at, well, where you want to be. I'll say in a prefix to this, these are not necessarily linear, okay? These can go like this.
Yeah.
So look at where you are. Look at where you want to be. Then get honest about what it's going to take to get there. Then start to take those steps toward getting there. So it's like bridging that gap between where I am now and where I want to be. It's like you have to pretend to, it's not pretending though. You have to be that person before you really fully believe that you are. You have to take the actions.
I told him, he walked through the mirror and you're like, I love you, but you really don't love you, you hate you.
Yep.
Because everybody tells you hate you, and then you have to learn to love you. And one day you stop and you look at yourself and go, I love you.
Yeah. It's through action that we invite our limiting beliefs to come up. It's through taking the action. Right. If you never take that action of telling yourself you're beautiful in the mirror, then you stay in that comfort zone of fear. I'm too afraid. Yeah. I'm too scared to do it. But if you start to take the action, that's when you're confronted with the limiting beliefs that make up that limiting mindset that you're stuck in. And that's how you begin to break out of it.
Yeah. Evangeline, this has been good. I actually went through many of the things you did. And everyone that has been listening to us, once you have begun your journey, it will never end.
Nope.
It will never end. And it shouldn't, because I would be bored out of my mind if I had gotten there. And I'd be like, is this it? You know, I'd be like, oh my God, all these years for this? So it never ends. And that's the beauty of it, because you and I are so deep that as we excavate more, it gives us an opportunity. And you guys that have been listening to me for a while, you know I love this phrase. It gives you an opportunity to become. Now, what we are becoming, that's the beautiful thing that we all have to experience as an individual on this line. We are all becoming something. And so I have someone that has been through some stuff. She has been broken. She has learned how to navigate and using meditation and all the different tools to create the mindset. And she got her man in 2 weeks. All you ladies that are listening, you know, I got somebody who got her man in 2 weeks. So if you guys want your man, hurry up, get in touch with her. I'm going to provide everything for you to get access to her, so that she could tell you how she did it. And for you to get more, as she stated, about you. Where are you? What do you want? You need some clarity as to where you're going. Until you have that clarity, you cannot move. You will always live that circular line. Your victory is in the clarity. Are you listening to me? The victory for your life is in your clarity. Until you become clear and precise in what you want. He wanted light, he got light. He wanted whatever he wanted, he created. And he was very specific. And you and I have to do the very same thing. We have to become creators, because that's who we are. We are powerful. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I made you gods, but you will die like mere men. I was like, oh my God, I was all messed up about that. But it's the truth. And many of us become acquainted with the God within us, of who we truly are. And that is the journey that you, and I'll give you guys this piece of advice before I hang up and let this beautiful being leave. And again, I give you guys the background as to where I came from, as far as I read the Bible and study, and I was a pastor back then. When God came on the scene and he began to create, from a Christian background, when he began to create all the things that he wanted, you and I were in him. Let there be light. We were talking to it as well. We were calling it out. And after he finished, he took this mud and made a body and released us into it. And he says, this is your dimension. Have dominion over it. It's all you. That's who you are. You created everything, but you don't even know that. You just believe what they tell you, that you're weak, that you are no good, you're powerless. And when that drops inside of you, you allow that seed of words to grow and cause you to be who you are today. But as you walk past the mirror and you say, I love you, I love you, you're talking to that God that is sitting inside you that wants to come out and change your world. And I have a guide. I like to call them guide, not coaches, because Why is she going to guide you? Because she knows the questions to ask you, to locate you, and to give you a helping hand to bring you out where you are faster than you will be able to do it by yourself. You need her. You guys that need to find that man, you need her. Those of you that need to find that right mindset, you need her. That is men, women, boys, girls, she said, entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are everyone that is walking on this planet. You have to have a business. You are your business. So you're an entrepreneur, and you have to learn about you. And I'm going to provide everything for you guys to get to her. I want to thank you so much for coming to this place called Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you, Ken. This has been an absolute honor.
Thank you.